Is champagne already on ice in Seattle? Military UAVs gain more in common with civilian hardware. And is Eid serious or just window shopping in the U.S.? This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Friday, June 19, 2009. Boeing executives now say the long-delayed 787 Dreamliner could be flying right now, and they fully expect the maiden flight to take place later this month. Boeing's Scott Carson told Bloomberg at the Paris Air Show, quote, "I personally believe the airplane could fly today," unquote. He added that Boeing was not flying the Dreamliner at Paris because there was no reason to risk flying when all the benchmarking was not completed. Quote, "We don't want to take shortcuts," unquote. Boeing is looking for some positive news from the show, since they have yet to report a single order at Paris. Carson told reporters he thinks economic conditions have found the bottom and that the commercial jet division could start picking up again in the next year. It's not unusual to hear the skill set needed to operate modern military drones related to civilian video games, but Raytheon is reporting advances that lean more heavily than ever on civilian tech. The company's Killer Bee land and sea-launched UAS has been adapted to run on the Linux operating system to improve UAS integration with other battle technologies. But wait, there's more. Mark Bigham, Raytheon Intelligence and Information Systems Business Development Director, commented, quote, "The ground system can be flown using either a joystick or a gamepad controller used by many gaming enthusiasts today. It provides the Navy and the Marine Corps with the first open universal control system, capable of flying Killer Bee, MQ-8 Fire Scout, and other UASs simultaneously," unquote. I have to wonder how long it'll be till we can start buying military surplus Wii controllers. Hartzell Propeller is a company with roots that go back more than a century, but these days the company is owned by Tailwind Technologies of Piqua, Ohio. Tailwind announced this week it's naming a new grouping of its other divisions, Hartzell Aerospace, in an attempt to both leverage the name's heritage and avoid confusion between the prop maker and other holdings, including Industrial Tube Company, Electrofilm Manufacturing Company, and Acoustic Fab. There were hints more acquisitions may be coming, too. James W. Brown III, president of Tailwind, commented, quote, "The creation of Hartzell Aerospace will broaden the range of products and services offered to our customers and serve as the natural home for additional acquired companies and content," unquote. You know, a recession is a great time to be in business if you're buying. Eads apparently thinks so, too. The European Aeronautic Defense and Space Company, the parent of Airbus, is looking for acquisition targets among U.S. companies, part of a previously announced strategy to diversify operations into markets where the U.S. dollar is the dominant currency. Sudden declines in the dollar's value in the past few years have hurt the profitability of Eads, while lowering costs for its competitor, Boeing. The company's Ralph Crosby told Bloomberg at the Paris Air Show, quote, "What we look for is value. Today, it can be anything up to $500 million, unquote. It's not clear how solidly the directors of Eads backed the strategy, however. The company had gone after two larger properties in the last year, but its board chose instead to preserve cash, according to COO Marwin LaHue. Up next on ANN, the FAA wants more money next year and says it's worth it. Lockheed's new GPS satellites aren't working well enough to support next-gen ATC. And Evector wants to outfit U.S. flight schools with its planes. You're listening to Aero News.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways, and you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-CESSNA.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for June 19th. I'm Paul Plack. FAA Administrator Randy Babbitt testified Tuesday before the House Appropriations Subcommittee on Transportation in support of his agency's request for a budget of $15.9 billion for fiscal year 2010. That's up from the $14.6 billion it requested under former Acting Administrator Robert Sturgill for 2009. Babbitt told the committee, quote, "Because aviation safety is my primary duty, and I do not take that charge lightly, let me start by saying that this is a budget that enables the FAA to pursue our paramount mission, advancing operational safety throughout the national airspace system. That being said, I am aware that you don't have to turn too many pages in the newspaper to see that we find ourselves in complicated financial times, so I want to stress that this is a fiscally responsible request that will help us deliver on all of our performance goals," unquote. The request includes $764 million for programs related to the development of next-gen air traffic control. The Wall Street Journal quotes Air Force sources in reporting that the first of a new series of GPS satellites built by Lockheed Martin and launched in March has not yet joined the operational GPS constellation because it's experiencing performance problems in orbit. The Air Force's Southern California Space Acquisition Center said on Tuesday the satellite will undergo a battery of tests expected to stretch through October to try and resolve the problems. Specifically, a new civilian signal emitted by the satellite is compromising its other functions, allowing receivers a resolution of only 20 feet instead of the 2 feet provided by the current constellation. The news is especially troubling given that progress on replacing the current constellation, which is nearing the end of its projected life, is already years behind schedule and hundreds of millions of dollars over budget. The new satellites are necessary to support, among other needs, next-gen air traffic control. Air Force officials say they still have adequate options to maintain a robust GPS constellation. Evector Aircraft of Melbourne, Florida has announced a new flight school incentive program designed specifically to help U.S. schools replace their training fleets. The company's popular LSAs are aimed not just at sport pilot programs, but for a variety of uses by pilots seeking or holding more advanced certificates. Company President Josef Bostic observes, quote, "The Evector Sportstar Max is a desirable sport plane that can be flown by pilots looking to lower the cost of their pleasure flying or business commute. Able to carry two persons in its 47-inch wide comfortable cockpit, carry a week's supply of baggage at 110 knots for nearly 800 miles nonstop, the Sportstar is not your grandfather's Cessna or Piper," unquote. Evector also offers the Sportstar Max IFR for more advanced training. The Max IFR is the first light sport aircraft that's Part 23 instrument compliant for IFR IMC flight and can be used to train students from sport pilot or private up to and including a commercial instrument rating. The Max IFR comes equipped with the certified Rotax 912S 100 horsepower engine. Evector Aerotechnic is working on a comprehensive export and flight school financing program for U.S. flight schools in cooperation with the Czech Export Bank. Still ahead, Daher Cicada introduces a new military variant of its fast turboprop. It's not just SUVs that need proper tire inflation. And privacy curtains are making a comeback in first-class airline cabins. You're listening to Aero News.
Welcome to Cirrus Design, maker of the world's best-selling personal aircraft, the sleek SR-22. Cirrus planes feature the latest technologies and are equipped with an exclusive, life-saving parachute system. It is our mission to make personal aviation safe, affordable, and convenient. At Cirrus, we offer a test drive like no one else in the business.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Friday, June 19th. I'm Paul Plack. Daher Cicada chose this week's Paris Air Show to unveil the multi-mission version of its TBM turboprop. The TBM MMA, for multi-mission aircraft, is outfitted with the TAIL's Agile 2 gyro-stabilized multi-sensor turret mounted under the aircraft's aft fuselage. The electrically driven turret is fully retractable and accommodates up to four latest-generation sensors, including infrared and electro-optical systems, a laser rangefinder, and a laser designator to mark targets. Daher Cicada Senior VP Nicolas Chabert says of the package, quote, "It brings together the proven Thales Agile 2 multi-sensor platform, already in operation onboard several airborne and naval platforms worldwide, with a TBM Very Fast turboprop, which has logged more than 750,000 flight hours in a global fleet of some 500 aircraft. In addition to TBM's demonstrated performance, the aircraft has an excellent maintenance record, especially in service with the French Armed Forces, unquote. The MMA can be reconfigured for passenger transport in as little as 30 minutes. The package highlights the importance being paid of late by manufacturers to military procurement opportunities, a relatively stable sector during a period of contraction in commercial markets. A new safety alert for operators from the FAA to operators of all aircraft, but especially the Learjet Model 60, sounds a lot like the advice given drivers of SUVs by the Obama campaign last year. Check to make sure your tires are properly inflated. On September 19th last year, a Model 60 departing Columbia, South Carolina, overran the runway when the crew attempted to abort the takeoff. The two crew members and two passengers died, and the initial investigation suggested that low tire pressure could have led to a tire failure. The safety alert notes that pressure checks of tires are most meaningful at ambient temperature when tires have been at rest for at least 2 hours since their last use. When tire pressure is checked with a gauge, the gauge must be calibrated. And finally, those privacy curtains separating first class from coach on airliners are making a comeback. The Chicago Tribune reports they were removed for security reasons after 9/11 on order of the TSA to make it easier for flight attendants and air marshals to monitor passengers moving throughout the aircraft. American Airlines says first class passengers want the curtains back. United Airlines introduced new curtains made of a transparent mesh about 3 years ago. The new curtains, unlike the opaque fabrics of yesteryear, have to be see-through to meet the new security directives. So, what good are they? Initial results suggest the curtains help flight attendants enforce the TSA's rule still in effect that passengers should use the lavatory in their ticketed section of the plane. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, Stu and Kathy Fields of Experimental Helo Magazine are here with me at West Desert, and Stu's been raising eyebrows with his engineering articles looking at how some polishes can reduce aluminum's fatigue life. Stu will tell us more, and Kathy will update us on their very unique publication. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts. Find them on iTunes, Odeo, and at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Enjoy your weekend and have a clear and unlimited day.